John chapter 17 is truly a remarkable chapter that we've been studying, taking our time through it, because it's so good. If you haven't been with us, we're right now in the portion where Jesus Christ is at this time praying to the Father. Starting in verse 1, He started His prayer. Verses 1 through 5 was His personal prayer. And verses 6 through verse 19, which we will finish tonight, is His prayer for those disciples that are there at that very present moment before Him. And then from verses 20 through 26 will be His prayer for His saints to come, for us today, for all of those that were before us and for all of those that will be after us, those that would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, those that would come into that powerful relationship. And it's amazing because I'm finding the heart of God here. The prayer of God, if you would. The prayer that Jesus Christ would offer up as we have such insight to the heart of the Lord. We've talked about in verse 4, number 1, if we want to be effective on this earth for the Lord, if we want to be effective in ministry in any sort that would be, in declaring truth, in shining for the Lord, in just being a Christian, a Christian that would live up to that name, being Christ-like, we must, number 1, glorify the Father. In all that we do, we must have a heart, a simple heart that says, Father, receive the glory. That would bring God glory in everything. That we and our desires would be glorifying the Father in every step we took. That is when we are going to be effective for the kingdom of God. That is when we are going to affect people. And that is when people are going to be touched. And that's when the Father is going to receive glory. Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, in Matthew chapter 5. And that's exactly what Jesus says, Father, I have glorified you. He says, verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have, number 2, we looked at, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Finishing what we start, so important. It is so necessary to glorify God, number 1, and then in what we are glorifying God, that we would complete it, that we would finish it, that we would carry out that which God has set before us. And notice again that it's the work which God has given us to do. Number 3 is verse 6, that we would manifest His name to those people around us. To those who Jesus was with, He manifests. We talked about that word meant to shine forth God, to shine forth His nature and to reveal to those around us the nature of the Lord, the nature of the Father in heaven, that we would glorify God with our life. That we would finish the work that He's given us to do. We wouldn't stop when trials hit. We wouldn't back down when little persecution comes, when a little trial is there and there's a little force coming on us and it's getting a little difficult. It's getting a little sticky here. It's getting hard. We wouldn't back down, but we would press on. We would press on towards the goal. And in the midst of all of that, we would shine forth the nature and the love of Jesus Christ to those that are around us. That we would be people that would do these kind of things. And verse 8 we found, then we would use that word. What word? We talked about that last week. The exacting word. The word, not the word of God in this sense right here, but we will hit that tonight. But here is the word for the word for the moment. The saying, the statement, that word for the moment. We talked about it. That was that sword there in Ephesians chapter 5. Or Ephesians chapter 6 there in verse 17. The sword for the moment. A small sword. An exacting word. A detailed word. A word of prophecy. A word of encouragement. A word for the moment. Something that would stir the heart of somebody. Listening to the Father. Manifesting His name. And then being a vessel and a tool for Him. And that we would be these kind of people. Now Jesus is going on. We'll pick it up in verse 12. He says, well, let me pick it up in verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world. He's praying to the Father. But these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And no one is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. While I was in the world, Jesus says, while I was in the world, I kept them in your name. Jesus now says, Father, here are these men that I've walked with, that I've poured my life into. I've caused them to know you, because he said, if you've seen me, to these very men he's talking about, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, how he's poured his life into these men. And he says, I've kept them, Father, in your name while I was here. And I have lost none of them. I lost not one. Do you know that Jesus Christ today, if you're in His name, you're in Christ Jesus, He has keeping power. He is faithful to finish the work which He has started in you. And that gives me such encouragement in my heart, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to finish the work which He started in me. He started a work. He's called me to salvation. He's done a work in my heart. And He's going to complete that work until the day of Christ Jesus. Until that day I see Him. He's got me in His hand. It says that Jesus has me in His hand. It also says the Father has me in His hand. And it's like this. I'm here in the Son of God's hand. I'm here in Jesus Christ's hand. And here comes the Father's hand. And they go like this. And I'm right there in the middle, and I can't go anywhere. They have keeping power, my friends. Jesus Christ will keep you for salvation. He is able to hold you up when you are weak. He is our only hope. He is the one we need to go to, the one we need to depend on with everything we have. It's amazing, with all the trials in this life, with all the tribulations, the only people I see that backslide and walk away from the Lord are those that want to. Even here, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. It means the son of destruction or actually waste. It's the son of waste. I have lost none but this one, Judas. See, Judas was never really a believer at all. He was there. He was around Jesus. In fact, Judas Iscariot did miracles. Isn't that why we learn when Jesus says, they call me Lord, Lord, but they'll come to me and say, Lord, Lord, but we cast out demons, we did mighty signs in your name, and he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Judas Iscariot, Jesus calls, I believe in the end of chapter 6, he says, I've chosen you, the 12, and one of you is a devil. He was a devil from the beginning. He was one that did not have a heart for the Lord, a heart after the Lord. He was just kind of along for the ride. We even find him dipping his hands into the money box that he carried. It's amazing that in the midst of Christianity, in the midst of the church and people that are brothers and sisters, there could be some of those that really aren't even committed at all. It's a fraud. There's no heart there. It's just kind of all head knowledge, and they know how to talk. And I encourage you, the Bible says to make sure your calling and election is sure. Make sure you're in the faith. Check yourself. Am I walking with the Lord? Why do I come to church? Between you and the Lord. Because I don't know if you understand this, but even this word son of perdition, the word perdition, Zodiotes, that's the two-volume set of the New Testament Greek word studies, he says there that this word perdition means one determined to remain spiritually lost. That's pretty heavy. He's saying in the Greek, one is determined, this perdition, he is determined to remain spiritually lost. Jesus says, I have lost none. The word lost there is the word for already lost, past tense. No hope of return. I have lost none of them but the son of perdition. He has hardened his heart against the truth as he sat there and heard it. He has rejected. He has turned away the Son of God, even seeing him crucified, denying the very Lord God that bought them, it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. He rejected him to the point of total misery. And when he finally realized he was a traitor and how he sold the Lord, and when Jesus Christ there was hung on the cross, he went out and hung himself, the Bible says. He forsook him. And he was in total misery. He was a waste. He was totally lost. And he hung himself in total depression. It's so important, you guys, that we would truly check to see if we're in the faith. That we would really see and we would really understand what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean anything about hanging out with Christians. That has something to do with it, but that doesn't make you saved. It doesn't make me saved or you saved coming to church. It doesn't even make me saved memorizing scripture. It doesn't make me saved witnessing on the street. Look at Judas. He did miracles, heard the Lord God Himself speak. He wasn't saved because he was determined to do it his own way. I pray to God tonight that you're not in that place of determination to do it your way. It's my way or no way. Absolutely not. It does not matter what you've done, who you are, how much scripture you know. What matters is, have you let the Lord Jesus Christ enter your heart? Do you have a broken and contrite spirit, a humble attitude, a teachable spirit? A spirit that says, Lord God, would you show me the way? A dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what we need. Jesus says, I've lost none of these but one. The one that he called the devil in chapter 6, the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. The scriptures will always be fulfilled. Good or bad, even to the point of a man being condemned to hell, the scriptures were fulfilled. Now, did Judas Iscariot, some might say, had no choice that the scriptures might be fulfilled? As we've previously talked about, no. He was willfully and willingly rejecting Jesus Christ. And God uses those who will do that to glorify His name, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. It says that He's raised up vessels for destruction for the day of wrath. It's a heavy statement. But that the scriptures might be fulfilled, Jesus Christ knew the whole time Judas was a devil. Knew the whole time that he was not committed to him. That he was ripping off money that he would eventually sell out and turn him in to be crucified. But Jesus the whole time knew that it had to happen for a pattern for me and you to look at and to see. That the scriptures might be fulfilled, but now I come to you. Jesus says, but now, Father, I'm coming. I'm coming home. And these things I spoke in the world, that they might... These things I spoke in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. But now I come to you, Father. And these things he says, what things? All that he said. All that he said from chapters, beginning of chapter 14 till now, it's one conversation through, and he starts praying in the beginning of chapter 17 here. All these things he said, that his joy, that we might experience his joy. Look what it says. All these things I've spoken in the world, around people, that they could hear it audibly. Why is he praying to the Father, such an intimate relationship here, an intimate conversation out loud? That the disciples could hear. Why? Why was the scripture written? Why do we have it today? That they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. It's amazing. That in the words of Christ, as I heed them, as I hold on to them, as I obey them, I find not my joy in myself, notice, but Jesus says his joy is fulfilled in themselves. Where will you find fulfillment in life? I'll tell you. No one but Jesus Christ. You could search all eternity long and find none like Him. Because there is one thing that each one of us this evening and anybody that's ever been born all throughout history needs and desires. That is relationship with God the Father. That is forgiveness of their sins and coming into that place of walking with Him. You see, we were at enmity against God. We were enemies of God, but we were reconciled. Reconciled means that once you had a relationship, or there was a relationship there that was hindered, and there was a relationship there that was hindered by sin, there was enmity there. But when Jesus Christ died, it was washed away, that sin, and I was cleansed, and now I'm reunited with the Father. The very purpose I was created was to glorify God. And to glorify Him is the first step, is to receive Him into your heart, to walk with Him. And then, it's not only a thing to receive Jesus, that is deeply necessary for salvation. In fact, John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right or the authority or the power to become children of God. We must receive Jesus. And everybody says, I've received Jesus. And if you're here this evening and you have received Jesus into your heart, He's in your heart. The next step for me and you to take is to step into His heart. It's to move out of Him being in my heart. That's good. That's my salvation. I need that. But now I need to enter into the throne room. Now I need to enter in and step into His heart, and then I will find my joy, His joy, being mine and fulfilling me. You want fulfillment in life? There's only one place we will find fulfillment. It is Jesus Christ. It is not just being a Christian. It is not just having God part of your life, but it is being a Christian and having God your life. He's everything. There's nothing else. It's just Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says, I've spoken these words in the world, Father, that they would heed and hear it and that they would be fulfilled. There's one place you're going to find fulfillment. That's in the Word of God. Nowhere else, my friends, will I ever, ever be satisfied. I've tried a lot of things. I've played and dabbled with sin before I was a Christian. I didn't dabble with it. I indulged in it. I've done a lot of things looking for fulfillment, looking to be satisfied, to be happy. And I found nothing. Nothing satisfying. Oh, for a moment, maybe. For a time. And even as a Christian, I've dabbled and played with things that I shouldn't be. Looking for satisfaction. Looking for happiness and enjoyment. Even in ministry. In witnessing. In doing things for the Lord. I look for satisfaction there and come up empty again. There's only one place I find satisfaction. And that's walking in the perfect will of God. Being a doer of the Word. In His words, He spoke these things in the world that His joy might be fulfilled in us. I love it because my joy always runs out. I can only be happy or excited about something for a little time. I mean, you talk about something. In fact, I'm able to go to Israel in a few months and I get excited. Yeah, this is great. But I want to tell you, it's going to run out. I'll go to Israel and I'll be excited and be looking at the tomb of Christ and be walking in the garden and walking up the road to Calvary. I mean, exciting things. But it will fade. I'll find myself empty. I go not searching for a place or a thing, but for a person. It's the person, Jesus Christ, which brings me satisfaction. It's not my joy, it's His. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. He doesn't only give me joy, His, but peace, not my peace, His peace, He says. John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 15, verse 11, He says, He gives me His love. fulfilled in my heart. It's from Him. It is His, as He has taken up residence in my heart, and now I've gone into His heart that I might experience the fullness. The fullness, the fulfilling of joy, the fulfilling of peace, the fulfilling of love. Isn't that what we all search for? And it's found in Christ. What a blessing. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 14 says, Jesus speaking to the Father, I have given them, these disciples, your word. Now here's that word that's not for the spoken word as we've talked about, but here it is, logos, the written word in the Greek. Written, the scriptures. Here it is. I have verse 6 or verse 8, I have given them the spoken word. Jesus gave them that word for the moment, which we all need to be using. That's spiritual gifts. Those encouraging words that aren't quoted scripture. But now he goes on to say, and I've also, Father, given them your written word. It's the written word. It's what Jesus spoke. Jesus says, you'll be fulfilled because they've heard what I've said to you. Father, I've said this that my joy might be fulfilled in themselves. And I have given unto them your word, Father. Your written word I've delivered to them, and they will deliver it to the world. As we see, as the New Testament that we have, Jesus Christ delivered it to the apostles, and they delivered it to us. It's right from the mouth of God. And it's beautiful because he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just, notice this, just as I am not of the world. That's how much we need to be separate from the world. Just as much as Jesus Christ separated himself from the world system. What does this mean? It means the way the world thinks. Non-believing people. The way they think. The goals they have in life. The hope, the future they have in life should not be the same as we do, because their hope is in this material world. Our hope is in a heavenly realm. Our hope is in a world that does not fade away. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of God. That's where our hope is laid up in. And when we receive the word, and if we take heed to the word, what's going to happen is the world is going to persecute you as you stand on the word of God. You will be persecuted if you stand on the word of God. The world hates them as they hate me, Jesus says, because they are not of the world. That's why the world hates me. Because I'm going against the flow. I'm going opposite ways than the world. Man, when I hang out with people that aren't believers, it's really hard just to strike up a good conversation and find any depth there. I don't got anything to talk about but Jesus, and they don't want to talk about him because he's convicting, and that means they would have to change the way they're living. And it's really hard. It's really difficult to speak of the things of the Lord around the world, to talk like I would talk right now to you guys. There's something wrong because I'm different than them. I'm not a part of them. I'm not the same as them. That's right. You see, I think, man, that's wrong. Something's wrong here. No, Jesus says that's exactly what's going to happen. That's what happened with Christ. They didn't understand him. The Pharisees, the religious people even. They were freaking out at the things he would say. They didn't understand him because they were on a whole different system. On building their own kingdom and being popular, having authority. And Jesus is saying, no, give it all up. Holding on to money and being the most wealthiest guy in town, Jesus says, sell all that you have and come follow me. That was totally against the world system as it is today. People don't understand. I know that many people, when they go up to Calvary Chapel Bible School, most of their parents, just they don't understand. They say, what are you going to do? What kind of degree can that do for you? What's that going to do? I hear it all the time. What are you going to, what kind of job are you going to get when you get out of there? They don't understand. That's the world system. Because, man, you don't have a good degree, I mean, in the world sense. But God has laid it in your heart, and He's put it in your heart to maybe go and study His Word and to learn about Him and to know Him. And Jesus is saying, just as much as I was separated from the world, so we should be. In the same manner, in the same sense of Him being separated, we're called to be separate. He goes on to say, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Well, wait. He says we're supposed to be separate from the world. But now He's saying, Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Here's the key to it all. In the midst of being kind of against the system of the world, the thinking of man today, what am I supposed to do as a Christian? How am I supposed to make it here? Jesus says, I don't pray that you would take them to heaven right now. No, I don't pray that you would take them away. But my prayer is, as they're in the world, though they're separate from the world, keep them from the evil one. Now, there has been a mistake in the church history, in monasteries, and we must be separate from the world. Jesus says we're not a part of the world, and so what happens is they separate. Christians would pull away and go into a communal living kind of area, and they would be surrounded by Christians, and they would stay away from the world, and they would say we're being separate. No, Jesus doesn't pray that. They're making their own little heaven there. It's kind of like that sometimes when I went up to Bible school. It was like little heaven on the hill. I mean, everybody's saved, praise the Lord. Things are great. Man, when people come down the hill from being there for 2 years, they get slammed. Man, the real world. People are really rejecting Christ. People don't like Jesus. I haven't seen this in a while, and it's kind of a shock to the system. Jesus Christ has called us to come into the world, not to be a part of it, the way it works in the system that it is, but to be a light in the midst of it, to glorify God in it, to finish the work which He's given us to do in the world, on the earth, notice Jesus said, to manifest and shine forth His nature in the midst of evil, to be here and to speak the word for the moment and to bring forth the word of God, the written word that Jesus says He gave them in verse 14. To bring forth that we are called to be the light in darkness. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. We aren't called to hide. We're called to shine. We're called to go forth and we're called to go into the midst of evil, into the lowest parts. But Jesus is praying for us, and I'm so glad He did. And I'm so glad this is the will of God, that as He prays, He says, but keep them, Father, from the devil. Keep them from the evil one. Don't let them fall into temptation. Don't let them give in to the things that are surrounding them. It's easy to be a Christian at Bible school or around Christians. But when my faith and your faith is really tested, when I really know that I have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is when I step out into the world. Right there where the rubber meets the road, when I go out into the workplace. Those of you that are in high school, when you're there at school, are you the same or are you different? Now, you don't have to be different in a bad way. I guarantee you, if you stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ on your campus, if you stand up for righteousness and you shine with the nature of God, with His love and grace, you will be honored by men. Not in a thing of worship, but they will respect you because you stand up for what is right. It's easy to go party. It's easy to talk around the filthy jokes. It's easy to give in to the temptations of peer pressure. But when you're standing against the flow, when you're hanging in there and you're walking with God, Proverbs chapter 3 says, if you'd write His word on the tablet of your heart and bind it around your neck, that you'll find high esteem and favor in the sight of God and man. You will. You will find favor as you be like Jesus. The sinners and tax collectors loved Him. They clung to Him. They hung out with Him. Did He party with them? Did He get wasted with them? Did He live sexually immoral? Absolutely not. What He had was more fulfilling than what they were doing. And that drew them in. It pulled them to Him. Something special about Jesus. There's a supernatural love that His love would be in me. That's supernatural love. There's something different about this man or about this woman. People would say of you as you manifest His name, as you just love the Lord. Not a condemning, critical spirit upon people, but loving them. Never compromising. Never letting down your convictions. But just walking in the Spirit. Just trusting the Lord. Just worshiping Him. You'll be blown away what God will do. You'll be blown away the witness you can be in the midst of an evil world because you're kept by His name. Because you're filled with His Spirit, and the things that used to tempt you, the evil one used to put in front of you, the things that used to have a pull on me, they're empty. Unsatisfying. They're a waste of time. I look at them now. I can say I could go to a party. I used to be drawn to parties. I used to love drugs and alcohol. And I used to go and think that was fun. Think that was all there is to do. That was the high of highs. That was the ultimate. And you could take me to a party now and I would just fall in love with Jesus saying, "You saved me from this misery. You saved me from the hangover in the morning." I just, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." And I just want to share. I want to tell people. And they'll kick me out of the party, not because I'm too drunk, but because I'm too Spirit-filled. I'm quenching it. That's the life of the Lord. That's just being free. That's just walking with Him. Man, you want fulfillment? And I look at drugs and I think of how I used to feel on them and I say, "Oh man, I was lost. Oh, what I used to think was right was so wrong, and I've been enlightened. Yes, God, glorify Your name through me. Thank You that You've kept me in the world and that You're keeping me from the evil one. Thank You that Your love draws and has a heavier and harder drawing on my heart than anything. Nothing can hinder me." And if you aren't in that position, if you aren't like that, all you need to do is get in the heart of the Father. What you need to do if that kind of temptation or whatever it would be has a pull and a draw on you, get in the heart of the Father. Receive the rich blessings that God has given unto you by His Holy Spirit. Take up the Word of God. That's where you'll find fulfillment. It's in God's Word. Nowhere else. You will be fulfilled when you have God's Word on fire in your heart. That's fulfilling. Look what Jesus says. Verse 16. "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth." Jesus says, "Father, keep them from the evil one, because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Oh, Father, here it is, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. What does it mean to be sanctified? Well, the primary meaning of that word is to be set apart. And that's exactly what Jesus has been saying. You're set apart. You've been called out of the world and set apart. You're different. You're not a part of the world. You have been set apart to me. Jesus Christ has set me apart by His blood. I'm not a part of the world system anymore. And I thank God. Because the way of the world system is only leading to the path of destruction. But the way of the Lord is leading to the path of everlasting life. I have been set apart. Number two, this word means to be made holy. And this is exactly what the Word of God will do. As the Word of God comes out and you're a non-believer, it will pierce your heart as it did mine. If you're willing to repent, as you repent of your sins and you come to the Lord, you've been now set apart. Secondly, now as the Word of God, day by day in your life, has a chance to make you more like Christ, to conform you into His image. You see, there is so much need for me and you to have the Word of God in our heart. How can you say, as a Christian today, how can I remain clean? How can I stay right with God? I keep getting dirty. I keep falling into sin. Well, it's right here. It's in the written word. Again, the word here is written word. Logos in the Greek. It's the written word. How can a young man cleanse his ways? Psalms 119 verse 9 says, by taking heed according to thy word. How can I cleanse my way? How can I remain pure before the Lord? How can I walk in the Spirit? How can you walk in the Spirit? Take heed according to the word of God. We must be people that are willing to take heed. To stand, to take God's word and just live it. Not just read it, not just memorize it, but read it, memorize it, and do it. To be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, lest the Bible says we would deceive ourselves. That we would be a doer. Take heed according to your word, it says. He goes on to say, with my whole heart I have sought you. With all of my heart. Number one, you want to be clean? You want to be sanctified? You want to be more like Jesus Christ? Take heed. And then seek Him with all of your heart. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Lord Jesus, I'm going to seek you. It's all or nothing. Here's all of my heart. With my whole heart, with the whole thing. It's yours. I'm sanctified, set apart. I'm taking heed, and now I'm seeking you with all of my heart. Do your will, O God, in my life. And He goes on to say, and let me not wander from your commandments. Look at that. Take heed to the Word of God. You want to be clean? You want to be sanctified? Take heed. Seek Him with all of your heart and the whole time be dependent on Him to keep you from wandering from the Word of God. It's Him. It's all Him. He's got to do it all. Jesus Christ has got my heart. And as I seek Him with all of my heart and get into His heart, He has to keep me from wandering and straying from His commandments because I am not able. And I thank you that He prayed to the Father, keep them from the evil one. And He's keeping me by His fulfillment in me, by His self, by Him, His person, working out in my life. And then He says, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I will not sin against you. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. I have hidden your word deep, deep, deep down in my heart that I will not sin against you. Oh, if we could memorize God's word, what would it take to cause us to be people of memorization, to memorize the word of God? What would it take to take up God's word and to heed it? To seek Him with all of our heart. To depend on Him from keeping us. And to memorize it and put it deep, deep into our hearts. To let it work out in us. It would cause us to be sanctified. Made more like Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, if you'll be a person that will heed God's word. That will take it up and put it in your heart. Trusting in Him to keep it there. Looking to Him in every step you take in your life. Every day you will find yourself growing, maturing, walking closer to Him. The church today is filled with people that are 20, 30 years in the Lord, And there's people today that are 2-3 years in the Lord and have passed them up in maturity. Why? Because they're better? No. Because they've heeded the Word of God. They've taken hold of it. And He's their life. He's my life. The Word of God is living and powerful. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It's living. It's alive. The Word of God, Jesus says, will never pass away. The heavens and the earth will pass away. They will dissolve and melt with a fervent heat. But the Word of God will remain forever. His truth is what is going to sanctify me and you. That's it. Nothing else could sanctify you. Nothing else could cause me to be more like Jesus than to heed His truth. I've got no truth within me but what I've memorized from the Word of God. What I've understood from the knowledge of the Scriptures. It says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow! Grow! 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 also says that we are changed into His image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Number 2, sanctification. What is truth? That's a question. What is truth? Well, we find here the Word of God is truth. Number 2, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 says the Spirit of God is truth. The Spirit is truth. I am sanctified by the Spirit of God as I'm taking up the truth of God's Word, putting it in my heart. The Spirit of God is the one that is at work in my life doing it. And as number 3, as I embrace the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth. Jesus is truth. God's Word is truth, the Father's Word is truth, Jesus Christ the Son is truth, and the Holy Spirit is truth in the Scriptures. And how it works is, as God's Word comes down to me through the person of Jesus Christ, and I behold Him, and I embrace the person, not just the Word, but His nature and His characters, and how He dealt with people. As I embrace that, and now I'm seeking God with all of my heart, and I'm hiding His Word in my heart, and now I'm saying, Holy Spirit, do the work. And now I'm watching the Holy Spirit bring all Scripture to my memory. As I'm watching the Holy Spirit work the Scriptures out in my life, and I am just amazed. And the whole time, the attitude should be, oh, keep me from wandering from Your commandments, Lord. Because He goes on there in Psalms 119, teach me Your way. Help me. And He goes on even further and says, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things from Your Word. You must do it all. But it's right here for us. I can't tell you how powerful it is to be sanctified daily by the Lord. To experience God in such a way. To know Him in the way of His love. And it's not you and your friend experiencing God, it's you and God. Oh, when you and your friend get together, as we'll see next week, you'll experience Him if you've both experienced Him on your own. The fellowship will be so rich. It'll be so deep. Your life will have depth. Your life will have meaning. Your life will have eternal rewards and impact. You will be fulfilled. As you take the Word of God, put it in your heart, and let God sanctify you. Now, sanctification comes through trials. How do I know if I'm really heeding God's Word? Well, like I've said before, I know when I'm in the midst of a trial. You see, that's when my faith is tested. You see, now, no longer I'm quoting Scripture and talking about Scripture, but now I'm saying either give in to the temptation set before me or do what God's Word says. Now it's time where the rubber meets the road. Now it's time where it's time to act and the choice is there. And now it's time to see if I really believe in what God's Word says. If I really am willing to lay my life on it. And I'm being tested. When you see a trial next time, and this is why God's Word could say, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. This is why it would say that. We say, that is crazy. Yeah, in our carnal mind it is. In the way of the world it is. But not in God's kingdom. It's fulfilling. trials become fulfilling in your life. The first few years of these kind of trials are hard. It's tough. And what I always want to do is run from the trial. James chapter 1, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. Number one, consider it. We've talked about it before. So important. Listen up. Mark it down. Write it down. It's the key to trials. Consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because you know something. You know that it's going to make you like Jesus. Knowing that the testing, what? Testing of your faith is going to produce in you endurance to endure through this life and to be sanctified. That the testing of your faith is going to produce in you endurance. So number one, it's make a mindset of considering joy because you're looking down the tunnel, seeing at the end that you're going to be more like Christ and more sanctified at the end as you obey God's word in the midst of this trial. Therefore, on this side of the trial, I can say, praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, you're going to make me more like Jesus. You're going to sanctify me. And then, because what I always want to do in the midst of trials is run! Run! Get out of here! You gotta split, man. I mean, God, save me from my trials. Jesus said, Father, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. If you are a person, if I am a person that flees from my trials, I will never experience growth, ever. I will be shallow, weak, and unable to stand in the storm. And when it really comes down, I will probably backslide. When the heat really gets heavy, I'll probably leave the faith. I've seen it many of times. So what's the key? Because as long as I'm here in this world, trials are a part of my life. Especially for those who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. Persecution from within, my own self, my sinful nature. From without, from the world system, and from above in the heavenly realm, from the enemy himself who is cruising around, testing me and trying me. What's the key? The key is stay in them. The key is learn how to endure trials. When you learn how to endure trials, you got it. Because when I learn how, I'm not no longer running from my trial, I'm no longer leaving my trial, I'm enduring it. I'm filled with joy in the midst of it. I'm saying it's going to make me more like Jesus. I'm just taking James chapter 1 and doing it. I'm saying, man, let it have its perfect work that I may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, Lord. Yeah, let it work in me. I consider it all joy, knowing that it's going to make me like Jesus. And now, Lord, just let it work on me. And Father, glorify your name. Father, help me finish the work. Manifest your name to those as they're watching me go through the trial, as they're watching me and they're seeing what is happening. Sanctify my heart, God. Here it is. Now help me to do it. And now I'm being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ and being sanctified by the Word of God. And number four, in the midst of that trial, verse 5, James chapter 1 says, and if anybody, and that word can be since, everybody, lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give liberally without reproach. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Number four, ask for wisdom. God, show me how to endure and to walk in the Spirit in the midst of this trying time. And I want to tell you, if you take heed to that, and stop trying to get out of the trial, but start to endure the trial. Start to let the work that God has set in that trial have its perfect work in you, complete work. You will be complete, lacking nothing. You will be more like Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we need. Because either I have a choice to live running from trials or to live enduring trials. If I live in the sense of running from trials, I'll be running my whole life, and I'll be miserable, and I'll always have a hard time, and I'll always be struggling, and I'll always be fighting and worn within, because trials will always be there until I enter into eternity. But if I learn how to endure them, I will be strong. I will be that man that meditates on the Word of God day and night. I'll be like a tree firmly planted by the rivers of water. I will bear much fruit in my seasons. And notice that we have seasons. And I will bear much fruit in my seasons, and my leaves will never wither. In the dry times, I will stay green. I will stay filled with the Word of God as I'm there by the water, as I'm there by the river. And it says, in everything you do, you shall prosper. You will be a rooted, planted, strong, firm believer. You will be filled with the wisdom of God, with depth to your conversations, with depth to your life, with something to show at the end, in eternity. You will have what it takes. You will be there, and you will have a life filled with His peace, filled with His love, and filled with His joy. And it will rule and reign your heart. Jesus says, that's the key. To be sanctified by your truth. For your word, written word, is truth. You gotta love it. Verse 18, and as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And I know it's getting late. We'll close there, but hold on. Don't close your Bibles. Here it is. Jesus said, I send them, Father, into the world as you sent me. Notice this. He sends His disciples into the world which hates them, as the same way and in the same manner that the Father sent Jesus Christ into a world that hated Him and ultimately was going to kill Him. And He sent Him in. That's the way we've been sent. Now will you still cry, here am I, send me, God. As Isaiah said, here am I, send me. God will say, who shall we send? Speaking there to the Father, to the Son and Holy Spirit. Who shall I send? He says. And who will go for us? And Isaiah is hearing it there in Isaiah chapter 6. And he says, here am I, Lord, send me. I encourage you to study Isaiah's life. It wasn't a life that the world would call a success. But it was a life that God would call an absolute success. I ask you, was the life of Christ have any depth to it? Did the life of Christ succeed in that sense? It was the most successful thing ever done in mankind. Ever done. He succeeded. He rose from the grave. He bought me from my sin and He purchased me by His blood. Jesus says, I'm sending you out into a pack of wolves. Sheep for the slaughter. Paul says, though, in the midst of all this, Romans chapter 8, we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. We're more than conquerors. Will you be willing to be sent by the Lord into a world that hates you, only if you've been with the Lord? You see, that was where Isaiah was, there with the Lord, repenting at the feet of the Lord, getting forgiven, being changed, seeing his own wickedness and his deep need for God. And at that point in my life and your life is when you will say, here am I, send me. And you will go out knowing trials are ahead. But you'll endure the trials for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. We'll endure the trials in our life for the joy that's set before us. For becoming more like Jesus. For seeing people come into the kingdom. For seeing people's lives changed and converted. Will you endure the temptations? Will you endure the persecution and the trial only if you have depth in your heart with the Lord Jesus Christ? Only if you have deep personal relationship. If all forsake you, will you still run the path? Will you still walk down that narrow road? Will you still fight the fight? Will you still finish the work which He's given you? Will you finish the race? Because Jesus said in verse 19,
And for their sakes, these disciples, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart. Here in that word, sanctify, it's not the be made holy. He is holy. It's the set apart. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ said that He would, for the sake of us, set Himself apart from glory and become a human being. Wrap Himself in humanity. Clothe Himself with the clothes of a servant. And humble Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross, for me and you. He set Himself apart that I could be set apart. He humbled Himself that I could be exalted. He took persecution and suffering that I could live for Him in glory and honor. He did it at Calvary. And He sanctified, set Himself apart for my sake, that I might be now sanctified. That I might now have the power to endure the trials and the temptations. That I might now have that power to live a godly life. If anyone has this mind that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery, ripping off God to be equal with Him, He was. But made Himself of no reputation, emptied Himself completely of all reputation that He had in glory, but made Himself of no reputation and became a man. He became a servant for a purpose of death on the tree, for the very purpose of rising again on the third day, that now every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Glory to God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Will you bow your knee this evening? Will you bow your knee in worship and thanksgiving for what He's done for you at Calvary? Will I bow my knee this evening and say, here I am, send me. The trials are there. They're there anyways. I want to walk through them with victory. I'm going to let them have their perfect work in me. I'm going to look to You to bring me through them. And like 1 Peter says, that the genuineness of my faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested through fire. You might be tested through the fire. You might go through heat. It might get hot where you're going and hard. But your faith will become more genuine. Just like gold when it's refined. As the dross comes to the top, they pull it off and they find pure gold. That you would have your flesh be burnt right out of you through the fire. And remember, there in the fire, in the book of Daniel, the men, bound with ropes, in the midst of a blazing flame. As the king looked in, he said, looks like the Son of God in there. A man. There's four people. There was only three. Who's in there? As even the world will see Jesus Christ in the midst of the fire. When those men came out of that fire, there was one thing burnt. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes, the Bible says, didn't even smell like smoke. I don't know if you've ever been to a campfire Bible study, but that's pretty impossible. One thing was burnt. The ropes that bound them. That which is holding you down, tying you up, will be burnt off through the trials, and you'll be more genuine in faith. More free to serve and love the Lord. More available for ministry. And that you would live in the Spirit. And that you would find the fulfillment that Jesus spoke of. That life, and that life more abundantly. Powerful stuff. If you don't know Jesus tonight, He wants you. He loves you. You need to give Him your heart. You need to be willing to repent of your sins. lay it all down, to say, Lord, I want you. I need you. I need you to save me from the ultimate fire, which is hell, and redeem me. And I just need you today in my life. I need your love. I need your grace. And tonight, if you're here and you have done that, take the second step. You've received Him in. Now get into His heart. Step into His heart. It's open for you. It's there. It's available. Let's pray.